Tom Carkle in the WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast for today. Clouds and sun will have a high near 40. The Racine Common Council will meet tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, right after a Committee of the Whole gathering, and the agenda includes sending a communication to the Finance Committee about a contract extension for venue works to manage the Civic Center complex. Alderman Terry McCarthy's got a request to discuss traffic patterns around the new Knapp Elementary School. That will be going to the Traffic Commission. Alderman Ray DeHaan's request for free parking Saturdays through the end of this month, that'll be sent on to the Transit and Parking Commission. And 5th District Aldermanic residents, Melissa Caprelli and Becker and Nancy Carlson, they're requesting the placement of tick awareness signs at the beaches and, quote, other highly infested and popular parks, unquote. That'll be referred to the Park and Rec Board. Back around the mid-1920s, a group of Racine businessmen, led by the newspaper's Frank Starbuck, along with Frank Leavenworth, came up with an idea to start a radio station. 90 years later, what became WRJN is still going strong. Celebrating an anniversary includes the very early years, and with WRJN being 90 years old this week, it starts with testing at Memorial Hall, main studios at the Arcade Building, the Hotel Racine, atop the American Bank Building, robbed by Dillinger and his gang in 1933, now Racine's Art Museum, and then 1958, our current home, at 4201 Victory Avenue on the west side of Racine. The first call letters were WLBG at 360 meters, followed by WRRS at 1370 kilocycles, and then WRJN for Racine Journal News, followed by a switch to 1400, eventually adding FM simulcast in 1948. None of it worked anywhere without the engineers, like the legendary Stan Fisher, having to make it up, literally at times.
The studio equipment, we built the transmitter, and put up our own antenna.
WRJN's local programming included live organ and piano with Ray Gruis. Later on, it was catchy names and theme music, like the Little Red Book. That was for birth announcements. And this was for lost pets. For many years, until his passing, WRJN was home to Paul Harvey.
I've been going steady with WRJN most of those years, and I'm mightily proud of that affiliation.
Also for many years, a local staple at WRJN was Party Line.
Helen Thomas speaking. I'm Kathy Larson.
Here's Debbie Thorgerson.
Good morning, everyone.
WRJN's history of ethnic programming goes back many years to Peter Bach.
Our sincere appreciation for your many kind expressions of goodwill toward our Danish radio.
And how about Sunday night classical music with Ralph Schoenleben for almost 50 years on WRJN?
It's your constant loyalty and support through the years that have kept me on the air, so the credit really goes to you.
So much history over 90 years of WRJN, and more tomorrow on our newscasts. And don't forget, this coming Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, a half-hour program, our public affairs program, will look at the history of WRJN radio over these last 90 years. Well, the very popular Canadian Pacific Holiday Train is scheduled to travel through Wisconsin the rest of the day and then make a stop into the Sturtevant Amtrak station later on for some holiday cheer and to collect food donations for the Racine County Food Bank. Sturtevant's Police Chief Sean Marshke says that with the event on a Monday this time around, you got a crowd that could be a little bit smaller, but if you are planning to attend, he recommends you arrive at the train station at least an hour before the scheduled stop at 5:25 p.m., and the chief says it might be easier to come into the station from the south.
Come in on Highway 11 and H, heading north on Highway H towards the train station. There is quite a bit of congestion at the intersection of Highway 20 and H or Renaissance Boulevard, so it's easier to get in and out of the train station if you come from Highway 11.
Chief Marshke says that everybody needs to stay at the boarding areas. Don't be standing along the tracks. The holiday train has collected more than 3.9 million pounds of food from local food pantries since 1999 during its many stops across the U.S. and Canada. In Kenosha tonight, three aldermen have got a resolution sponsored that seeks a federal investigation of the Kenosha Community Health Center. Representatives of that center did not appear at the last council meeting to answer questions about the operation. The resolution up before the council this evening takes note of the center laying off dental hygienists while at the same time expanding services outside of Kenosha. And they want to know as well who's the acting facility executive director. The resolution is asking the Federal Health Resources and Services Administration to look into the center's staffing and compliance with the Public Health Services Act. This country's leading maker of artificial sports turf, according to a new report, knew it was selling a defective product.
A review of internal emails found that FieldTurf sold more than 1,000 fields to towns, schools, and teams across the country after its executives became aware that the product was falling apart faster than expected. Records obtained by NJ Advanced Media show managers claimed that DuraSpine turf would last for a decade, but became aware it was falling apart shortly after beginning to sell the product in 2005. The company has rejected accusations that it defrauded customers, saying the problem does not compromise player safety. I'm Sierra Crawford.
Holiday season is now in full force, and the Racine Police Department wants to put out a reminder to everybody about personal and property safety. There's the threat of burglaries and thefts. It's crimes of opportunity. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff.
National statistics show a large percentage of residential burglaries occur during the day when homes are unoccupied, so doors and windows should be locked when you're away. Criminals also seek easy targets in shopping center parking lots by keeping packages locked in the trunk or stored out of plain view. And by keeping all doors locked at all times, you'll reduce the likelihood of being victimized. Remember to make arrangements to have newspapers and mail collected by someone if you will be away from home for an extended period of time, or have delivery placed on hold as uncollected mail and papers are an indicator that a home is not occupied. Also, remember to break down boxes for recently purchased big-ticket items and turn them inside out when you put them out for trash pickup. Racine has enjoyed a downward trend in burglaries over the past 3 years. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
City of Racine's Redevelopment Authority meeting in room 303 at City Hall this evening, 5:15 p.m. The agenda includes the latest on talks with the General Capital Group of Fox Point on developing the Case Plowworks building at 815 Marquette. There's a proposed warranty deed for the transfer and sale of 1248 Washington Avenue in Uptown, and a closed session about the city acquiring the former Ajax property in the 1500 block of Clark Street from Summit Industries for blight elimination and future sale or lease to private developers. There is also a related issue of an option to purchase the former Ajax property with North Point Development of Oshkosh. This for redevelopment of the property in a manner consistent with prior entitlement approvals given to Herman and Kittle Development. That company had to drop lands for a veterans housing project. WRJN Radio, celebrating 90 years of broadcasting in the greater Racine area. All this week on Select Newscast, you're hearing some of the many voices from behind our microphones.
I really appreciate all the nice things that were said about the radio stations, and I take them to heart for the radio stations. I just came along after 60-some years and decided to keep a good thing going.
This is directly from Emmer Dozie's column. I got a call from Marie Cunningham after I had written a column about the Bob Miller Band of 1931 through 33 and mentioned how many of the early bands were featured on radio station WRJN and played for dances at Hotel Racine.
We actually have photos of our studios here on Victory Avenue in the early 50s during an open house. There was a line of people waiting to get into the open house. What's interesting is everybody's in dresses, shirts and ties, jackets and overcoats.
The voices of one-time owner and GM Tony Gazzana, show host and later news reporter Tom Mountain, and of course Don Rosen, former talk show host and program director. And there's a lot more of WRJN's on-the-air history over the last 90 years coming up this week on our newscasts. And December the 11th, 8 in the morning, a full half hour of radio station memories. Our AccuWeather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News. The president and CEO of Educators Credit Union is being remembered after Gene Shimshack passed away on Sunday at the age of 67. He graduated UW-Madison, began with the business as a teller many years ago at its Uptown location. In a statement, Educators Board Chair Mary Lewenberg said Gene considered everyone in the organization an extension of his family, made it a point to know the first names of those employees, and took great pleasure with those interactions. The funeral services are pending at this point for Gene Shimshack. Dr. Ben Carson decides he's going to take a job in the Trump administration. He'll run the agency with direct financial impact on communities all around the country.
When Ben Carson was rising in the primary polls, Donald Trump, early this year, took to mocking Carson, including his story that though he seems so mild-mannered, he once tried to stab a friend, Mr. Trump, in Iowa.
He lunged that knife into the stomach of his friends, but lo and behold, it hit the belt and the knife broke. Give me a break.
At that time, the president-elect called Ben Carson an okay doctor. The famed neurosurgeon, now retired, has agreed to be Mr. Trump's Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. He was born and raised in poverty in Detroit. In a transition statement, Carson says he wants to help strengthen communities that are most in need. Bob Costantini, Washington.
The Kenosha County Board's Human Services Committee is set to meet Tuesday evening to consider the appointment of a new director of the Division of Workforce Development. Nina Taylor, chosen to replace Adeline Green, who retired as the division director last Wednesday after a 16-year stint as the county's workforce development director. State of Wisconsin might pay to build a juvenile correction center in Milwaukee County, as long as the county agrees to pay to run it. That's according to a Journal Sentinel report and a conversation with Governor Scott Walker.
We'd be willing to work with them if they wanted to have their own facility. It's just for Milwaukee County because, just as is in the state correctional system, the majority of people in the juvenile system come from Milwaukee County.
Milwaukee County Executive Chris Abley says discussions are underway now with the governor's office. New York Senator Chuck Schumer up in arms about United Airlines' plans to start charging a fee to store carry-on bags in the overhead bins. The senior senator urging the airline reconsider that $25 fee to economy flyers if their bags won't fit under the seat.
They're charging for food, they're charging for big luggage, they're charging for legroom. Now they're charging for this? Enough, airlines, enough already.
He says if United's allowed to get away with this, other airlines will follow that lead. Green Bay Packers have been making more land acquisitions for Titletown District townhouses. Team now has options on more sites at a cost of $1.5 million. They have or will buy others, but are not under any deadline to file those transactions. The land recently acquired totals 1.5 acres. It was assessed at just over $936,000. Altogether, the Packers own 72.5 acres in Ashwaubenon West, east, and south of Lambeau Field. It's all assessed at $45 million, 2015 property taxes, $965,000. Packers paid $57.8 million for the land, dating back to the first acquisition in 1975. Well, we know who the Badgers are going to play in the Cotton Bowl January 2nd at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. It'll be Western Michigan. This will be the first trip to a top-level bowl since a Rose Bowl appearance for the Badgers at the end of the 2012 season. Wisconsin falling to the number 8 position in the Associated Press and Coaches polls after the Big Ten championship loss to Penn State. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.